Are you ready? Welcome to the Think Millions podcast, a channel where you get an unfiltered, raw, and authentic conversation about the challenges of being an entrepreneur and tips and tricks on how you can scale your business to the next level. If you are looking to scale your business, then you're in the right place. Introducing our host, Alexa D'Agostino.
Welcome to the Think Millions podcast, a podcast where we have real people coming with real experience, people that not only can talk about making millions because they are making millions, which is amazing. I'm here with LaDale Bugs, and he is the president CEO of 316 Capital. It's a real estate and finance development firm headquartered in Texas, and his company specializes in residential, commercial real estate financing and private equity. And I'm excited because today we're going to talk about something really important. And we've talked a lot about this on our podcast because we think it's so important, because a lot of you are in 9-to-5 jobs, and a lot of you are trying to figure out, how the hell do I get out of it? And the reality is, most entrepreneurs that I bring on here, they didn't just wake up and become an entrepreneur. A lot of them turn their side hustle into what they now call their company. And that's how I always recommend people doing it. And I'm so excited to hear, LaDale, your story about how you did it and telling my listeners how they can do it too. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you so much for the invitation. I'm excited to get into to the discussion. And guys, I jump right into it. Again, the LaDale Bugs and real estate development, finance, and private equity. And how I kind of got my start is when I was 17 years old, I was talking to my Uncle Gary, who's alive to this day. And we were sitting down talking about this money. He said, "Son, have you ever heard of something called passive residual income?" I was like, "No." He said, "What that is something that you do one time, but you get paid over and over and over again." I just said, "Wait a minute. Why am I going to college if this is the type of income that I want to make?" So while I was in college, I began to study this business model that generate a passive or cash flow, because cash flow is the most popular word in business. And I stumbled onto real estate development finance. And so first deal I ever did, I made $3,500 in college. That's a big deal, because in college, you're normally broke. And so drinks were on me that night. The next deal was $10,000. The next deal was $26,000, and so on and so forth. Now I own about $35 million worth of real estate.
I love that you just said mostly everyone's broke in college. And what's interesting about that is, so I started my first business at 18 while I was going to school. And everybody always said, like, they always think, "Oh, I've got to wait until after college to start," where my mentality was like, "Why? I want to start making money now." And if you think about the amount of money I made between 18 and 24, most kids are not even getting their first jobs until 23, 24 years old. Like, I was well ahead of everyone else simply because I started working before. And I'm not talking like a waitressing job, right? Like, I'm talking significant money, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing. In my opinion, I have 5 degrees, including a PhD, and I'm going on record to say, like, I don't necessarily think having a degree will help you start a business. So why not do both at the same time, right?
Correct. I have a degree too. Here's the strange thing about it. I've never used a skill that I've learned in college in my current occupation. I never have. And so I began to rethink the value of college. Now, I'm not saying that college is not important. Guys, it is important. But it's really important if you're looking to develop a specific skill in a specific industry. Us being told, go to school, get a high-paying job, come out, and then retire, that's a pipe dream. This is not going to happen. Right now, we're in an information age, and information goes so fast. I think college is a little bit slower for the entrepreneur, so to speak.
Yeah. And what's interesting that I find is everyone is always so scared to jump in. And whether you're in college or 9-to-5, whatever your situation is, everyone is nervous to jump in because they're just not aware of the two things. One, they don't know how to do it. And two, they don't really understand what it takes. And sometimes people are like, "Oh, I'm just going to quit my 9-to-5 job and go right into starting my own business." But what I find why that doesn't work is because when you jump into entrepreneurship with no plan and no savings, guess what happens? Especially if you have a family, you get like 3 months into it, you're stressed out because you have to put food on the table and you're broke as fuck and you have no money because you just decided to quit your 9-to-5 job. So that's why I love the idea of starting a side hustle first, learning it, gain the skills that you need, and then move forward. And when you can actually pay a majority of your bills from your side hustle, then you jump over.
Yeah, don't be so quick to leave your 9 to 5 because there's some skills that you're learning at the 9 to 5 that you can take with you and implement in your side hustle business. Now, why do we say side hustle? Well, you're doing it on the side. So you're working 9 to 5, and then from 6 to 9, you're doing your side hustle. But now with the side hustle, you're beginning to cultivate, making more money, which is great. You're beginning to meet new people as well. And if you do it the right way, with the right plan, with the right mentorship around you, the key thing is mentorship. You begin to see how your income begins to go up, and then hopefully, you'll be able to be able to make a decision. Okay, now I've turned my side hustle into an enterprise. Now I get to make a decision to leave the company because I'm making more money on the side hustle versus being at a 9 to 5 job. That's where you want to be.
Exactly. And the other thing too is like even somebody that's 18, 19, 20 or in your early 20s, I get so many questions. They're like, "Alexa, what do I start?" Like I have a neighbor. He's 18 years old and he's like, "What about this? What about that? What about this?" And I'm like, "It doesn't matter what the hell you do right now. Just get into something so that you can start to learn skills." 'Cause the most important thing from like I believe from like 15 years old to 25 years old is learning skills, like how to run a business, how to run a budget. How you mentioned cash flow. Like my COO would be so excited to hear you say that. Like cash flow is king. And most businesses fail because they can't persist and they can't manage their cash flow. So if you can learn all of that, I think it's so important. So why don't you share with us a little bit more about how did you manage both? Like, how do you have a real, like a full-time job and do a side hustle? Like, how do you do that?
Well, I was married when I really began to dive deep into entrepreneurship. It started when I was in college, but when I got married, that's when it kind of really I began to dive deep into it. So it really was my wife was the one who pushed me into entrepreneurship. I was working for the Xerox Corporation. Everything was going well. And then all of a sudden they let me go. And I just said, I just got married, right? We bought 2 new cars.
Those
So like,
jackasses.
and I was like, what am I gonna do? And I remember as when they let me go, I was getting on because I'm in Dallas. I got on 635 and I called my wife and said, honey, they let me go. And she said, maybe you're not meant to be an employee. Maybe you're meant to be an entrepreneur. Here's what we can do, right? She said, I'm working full time right now as a teacher at a local ISD. We're making great income. We're tightening the belt. You build the company. And so for the next 3 to 5 years, I built the company and it was ups and downs and things of that nature, plans, things didn't work out. But at year about 5, that's when I began to see a significant profit. And now she only teaches because she wants to now. She didn't have to if she didn't want to at all. But she loves teaching at a private school now, very part time, because it's what she wants to do. She loves teaching. At the exact same time, my kids are there as well also. So she gets to take the kids to school, be there with them as well. They're learning good biblical as well as financial principles and come home and it's all part-time. And we're both loving what we're doing. So that's how I got pushed into entrepreneurship.
Yeah, and I think that, hearing your story, what I find is entrepreneurs and people in general do the best when their back's against the wall, right? And you have no other freaking option other than putting the pedal to the metal because you have to, right? And I think that to the contrary, I just said don't leave your 9 to 5 job without some sort of cushion. And it is true, right? But I think that it takes a special person to also understand your back's against the wall. And sometimes what I find is sometimes people are very they want to do all the wrong things. And when I say that, they want to build out an entire brand and an entire website and entire this, and they want to spend months hiring the wrong people to do all that. And then they're 6 months later, $25,000 in debt after hiring, a coach or two, and they've got no revenue. In my opinion, just get out and start hustling, start meeting people, get out there and just start making money. Even if you charge $500 for a consultation or whatever, like even if it's little, just start making money, get out there, get comfortable to the point where then you can start jacking your prices up. Don't worry about, a landing page and websites. And I made my first 6 figures in business ever without a landing page, without a website. I had literally nothing, nothing. So just get out there.
I tell everybody at the beginning stages, you're the best salesman that of your whole organization. You are. So go be the best salesman. You have to generate sales to generate an income. So if you're sitting behind a desk developing a splash page, I love that what you said, Lecture, that you made your first 6 figures without a splash page. That's a huge statement. What that meant to me was she went out there and hustled. She had a side hustle. She went and hustled that thing, and she made six figures. And she made a good decision. So you are the best salesman at the beginning stage of your company than anyone else. Stop trying to put someone in that place initially, and you go out and hustle. Once you've mastered that skill, then you hire to replace you, not just a new employee, if that makes some sense.
Yeah, and I'd be curious what your thoughts are on this, but the word hustle is interesting because you have people that are like, but Alex, I'm hustling so hard. I'm working 12-hour days, but you're hustling to the wrong thing. Hustling doing DoorDash isn't going to make you millions, right? It's you have to be hustling doing the right freaking things. And what I find is people are always doing the wrong things. And if you want to make money, if you want to make millions, you've got to hustle and do the right things to get there.
I think people don't know where they're going because they have no vision. Without a vision, you will perish. So whenever I see an entrepreneur kind of trying to figure things out, or they are kind of in what I call unknown zone, don't know where to go, the first question I ask them is, what's the vision and mission of the company? And they'll say, I don't know. Without a vision, you're not going to succeed. Sit down, iron out what the vision is and what the mission is, put together a strategy, right? Which with the foundation of your vision there to go out and solve a problem. Business is all about solving someone's problem. That's all it's about. So if you don't have a vision, guys, you will not succeed. So the first thing you need to do is understand what your vision and your mission is, and then begin to implement that thing.
It's funny because you talk about vision. So I had a client who she was doing pretty decent. Like she was making like 150,000. Like she wasn't doing bad, but she like couldn't get over that hump and she didn't really understand why she wasn't closing deals. And so I started like probing her. I'm like, "Hey, like what's the deal? What why aren't you closing more deals? Let's look into it." And I started asking her questions. I'm like, "Who is your client?" And I'm like, "Wait a second." I'm like, "None of your clients are in healthcare." She goes, "Why does that matter?" I go, "Because you were the CEO of a hospital and you were literally the head nurse of one of the like biggest hospitals in all of the United States." I'm like, "That's your niche and you're not even going after that clientele." Well, boom, 6 months later, like she tripled her business. And it's simply just because she was going after the wrong market. And in her head, she was like, "Wow, I didn't even think that that's my client. Why wouldn't you? Like, lean into what you're good in and where your background is." And
There you go.
sometimes people forget that. So again, it's you can hustle, 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 but unless you're hustling, doing the right things and going after the right people, it really doesn't matter.
I agree. And that's the beauty of her having a mentor like you, a side by side with it, and say, okay, she had trouble trying to understand what her vision, what her mission was. You came in, kind of gave her some wise counsel. She got refocused, understood what her vision, coupled with the mission is, and began to execute a strategy, most likely with you counseling her, and she tripled on income. Do you see the power of a vision and also a good mentor? A good mentor as well. The era of the solo entrepreneur is dead. People like myself and Lex are going to crush you. Not because we're mean, it's because we have a team around us. That's why basketball is a team sport. Football is a team sport. It's a team, right? So if you are in a deal or going against Alexa and you're trying to figure out the deal and you're going against her and her squad, she's going to beat you every time. Every single time. I will as well, because why? The solopreneur is dead. It's gone. Joint venture structures, partnerships, that's the new hustle. That's how you build to scale. Don't build to create a new job. Build to scale. Does that make sense?
Oh, I love it. I love what you just said. Partnership is the new hustle, right?
It
And
is. It is.
like everyone always asks me, it's actually pretty funny. So my wife didn't understand why I run events. She literally said, "Alexa, you're wasting so much time running events." Now she runs a $300 million company. Like she's like a badass, right? And so she's gotten business other ways. And you know, this is probably like our third year. And it finally like clicked her. She goes, "I get it. Now I get why you run these events." I'm like, "Yes, I'm putting all the people I want to do business with all in the same room with people I do business with. So now the people I do business with are speaking to the people I want to do business with, and they all want to do business together. And now they're looking at me like, oh, I just put everyone in the room, and now they want to do business with me even more, right?" And so, like, You mentioned a couple things like partnerships is so important, whether it's a coach, a partner. I've had really bad partners, so I'm much more strategic now, and I've had to learn how to build the right partnership. But I completely agree. Like networking partnerships is the new hustle, in my opinion, especially with AI. Like people want that human interaction, and I think it's important. Like get out and network, like build relationships. That's how you're going to build your career and your business.
Proximity is power. Proximity is power. So you can only go so far when you're by yourself. And I'll give you an example. We invested into the first AI-powered ammo machine going into grocery stores. And how we got that type of opportunity was I ran for the Texas House in 2020. My campaign manager calls me and says, "Liddell, I have a deal I want to run by you." And I'm like, "Man, I get punched every day. But you come on, Grant, let's go. Come on." So Grant comes in and shows me this pitch, and I just said, "This is crazy town. What in the world? The first one ever." And I said, "Well, how did this come to you?" Again, proximity is power. Grant says, "Well, we actually have four of the largest rural grocery stores in the nation reach out to us and said that they queried their customers and said, 'Hey, you guys are driving 300 to 500 miles away to get ammo.'" I said, "Yeah. Would you guys be opposed or welcome the opportunity to buy ammo here in the grocery store?" They said, "Hell yes. What in the world?" So they reached out to us. I got on a Zoom call like this, and then was speaking to them. And I said, "Guys, if you have the data, what do you need me for? What do you need us for?" They said, "Well, we're in the grocery store business. We're not in the ammo business." I said, "I got it. Again, proximity is key. I'm a business guy. I know very little about ammo, right? But I have relationships to individuals in that space that give me wisdom on that." So I called a good friend of mine, Matt Sapala, who's a multimillionaire in the financial market space, but he's a former Marine. And I said, "Matt, I like the idea, but man, I'm kind of going back and forth of making the investment." And he said, What would stop you from making an investment?" I said, "Me not knowing enough about ammo." He said, "Do you have a team around you that can give you that wisdom?" "Yes." He said, "Make the investment. This company is going to be a $2 billion valuation in the next 24 months."
Wow.
It's ridiculous because we have two sides to the business. We have the ammo side, AI powered. It's the same technology that the TSA uses at the airport. Same technology. You can buy your ammo in 30 seconds, right there on the spot. Because Dick's and other Fortune 1000 companies are going away from having ammo on their shelves because of theft. So they were looking for a solution. Again, vision, mission. And we prescribe the right solution. So we located a issue, prescribe a solution. We're going into 1,800 stores in the next 24 months.
Well, you did. I feel like you did two really important things that's important to know. So the first thing is you problem solve, right? And being an entrepreneur, it is that's problem solving. And in my opinion, the number one thing an entrepreneur has to be good at is to solve problems. And so that's the first thing. The second thing that I think is really important to note that you did here is everyone is every time I talk to people, they're always talking about, oh, I have to create an audience. I have to create an audience. No, you don't. There's audiences that already exist. So instead of waiting to build an audience, you went and found an audience and found what they need. And now you can sell it at a premium because they need it. They don't have it. And they're already there in buying mode, right? So I think it's really important for people to understand you don't always have to build your own audiences. Like
No.
go find somebody else that has an audience that you can use.
I'll give you an example. I was invited to go to the Volt conference. That's the Pastor Patrick David's conference in Fort Lauderdale 2 years ago. I went there, which is fine. I had the CEO package, which is great. I had a good time. Alexa, I got pitched 25 times in 4 days.
Wow.
I had 4 hours of sleep every single day. I was extremely tired, but the relationships that I actually built, proximity is key. And what tripped me out is as we were going through the conference, out of the entire attendees, 70% of them were in real estate. And out of those real estate guys, about 69% of them were realtors or mortgage brokers. 1% of them were actually active real estate investors. And they were talking about the problems that they're actually having. Well, because of how I built my real estate empire, I went through those problems 5 years earlier. So I knew how to adjust on the fly. And so I was getting asked a lot about how to get this accomplished. And one of the things I tell them, I said, "Guys," I said, "in my space, I knew this was coming, a downturn was coming in real estate. And so for me, I said, well, who's going to be a big player in real estate? Well, BlackRock, really Blackstone. BlackRock control or owned Blackstone. Why? There was that they were buying entire subdivisions in the single family residential space. So I said, that's my new opponent. So I have to build, I have to build to scale because I'm having to compete against them. They were actually outbidding retail buyers by buying entire new construction subdivisions. So I moved the operations from the major major metropolitan areas into what I call those mid-tier towns. I'm in Dallas, so that you're looking at Waco, Temple, Centerville, Nacogdoches, those mid-tier towns, and also Mississippi as well. Starkville, Madison, Jackson. Why? They were not there. Blackstone was going into those major areas. So I said, I don't want to compete with them yet. So what I did was I just copied their model. I built to scale. So I acquired entire subdivisions, built whole new subdivisions. And I didn't sell the liquidate them. I acquired them, renovated them, improved the value of it, refinanced the long-term debt, and I kept it on my balance sheet. Because why? I want to be able to leverage that to go and make another play. So that's how I used the power of partnerships and networks, right, to be able to iron out a strategy to compete against the big boys.
I love it. I love it. I could talk to you all day.
Oh, God bless you.
Well, how can people find more about you?
My first and last name, Liddell Bugs, and that's where everything's under. You can go to my Instagram page, click on my bio, and you'll see my LinkedIn page there, all my platforms there. I do want to bring Alexa onto my podcast as well,
I'd
called
love
the Counter
to.
Move Podcast. And we in that podcast, what we do is we take a issue, whether it be economic, social, political, we unpack it together, infuse wisdom into it, and then prescribe the right counter move solution to it. It's pretty cool. People, it's gotten fairly popular by God's grace, which is great. But I can talk to you all day as well, because guys, she thinks I'm a badass. She's a badass, guys. She really is. She's a badass. You guys have been blessed to be able to really hear what she has to talk about.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I'll put all of your socials in
Good.
the show notes. So everybody that wants to go ahead and connect with Liddell, I will put it all in the show notes for you, including his websites and everything, so you can go follow
Sure.
him. I mean, what an amazing guy, amazing story. I mean, such a success story. And I think, you know, the fact that, I mean, from skyscrapers to warehouses, apartment buildings, I mean, he's doing it all. I mean, it's just incredible. So doing the
Yes.
American dream, you know. So
Trying to do it, trying to do it. Yeah.
well, thank you, Liddell, and we'll see everybody in the
Thank
next
you.
episode.
God bless you guys. Peace.
Thanks so much for tuning in to this episode of Think Millions Podcast. If you're enjoying the show, please feel free to rate, subscribe, and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. We really appreciate that effort, and we'll catch you in the next episode.